Well, I'm so glad to be with you. And I must say, I'd been hoping that Roy was coming. And then he backed out at the last minute. And I was really relying on him being here. And that I would follow him, which is the way we so often work together. But I understand he feels that he needs some time to go through all the letters and write some letters, and he felt he shouldn't come. So I just had to give that to the Lord and accept it and believe that he wants us just to be like this. I praise the Lord for that meeting last night, and I think most of you were there. And forgive me, those of you who weren't, I think just two of you perhaps weren't there. So I do want to refer back to it. And I was so impressed, because so often as... Oh, thank you. That makes a difference. I've been noticing as we've been travelling around and going from different place to different place, that so often when the Lord brings us to this part, to this message, somehow there's a freedom that you can sense all over the congregation. You know that people are getting free, coming to a new place, when they hear the message of the power of the blood of Jesus. And it was just another confirmation last night, although I didn't really speak to many people about it. I knew that people were coming into a new liberty. And I just said, well, thank you, Lord, for confirming this again. And so I do want to really go back and pick up various things from that time, that message. And I found myself thinking last night, well, I wished I hadn't given that message on Sunday night, and that testimony, because it fitted in so well after what Roy had said last night. Probably better than it did on Sunday. And so I might repeat some of the things that I said on Sunday. And sometimes I've said to Roy, well, I can't say that because I said it last time I was here. He said, don't kid yourself that people remember what you said. So I must remember that. But for those of you who weren't with us, we were thinking about Exodus 12, which you probably know is the story of the Passover. And Roy was bringing out the thought of, it says there, the blood of the lamb shall be for you a token. And then relating it to the life of the Christian and how the Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And I was looking back at that chapter 12 in Exodus. And I was noticing something that I had heard somebody say, the progression about referring to the lamb. In verse 3, it's a lamb. And in verse 4, it's the lamb. And in verse 5, it's your lamb. And there's something lovely about that. And it's when we find that Jesus is our lamb, really. For me, really personally for me, that then we come into a new place of freedom. And the lamb, of course, speaks, doesn't it, about the blood of Jesus. And I was thinking about a lamb, those of us who have really been biblically taught know that this is the picture right through the Old and New Testament. The lamb for sacrifice, the lamb sacrificed for sin. And the foreshadowing of all the lambs that were killed during those Old Testament days, pointing to the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. And then we think how the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. And then perhaps the Lamb. We hear John the Baptist looking on the Lord Jesus as he walked and saying, behold the Lamb of God. But then in John 6, you come to something much more personal. And, the people who listened to the Lord Jesus speaking about all these things, they were shaken. And you haven't got Bibles, and I'm not going to give a great big Bible reading. It's just to base thoughts on. But John 6, you probably remember, is where the Lord is talking about being the bread of life. And there's a whole long discourse about Jesus as the bread of life. And then he moves on, and in verse 53, he says, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And they didn't like that. Are you hearing all right? Can you hear all right? It sort of put them off. You can understand it. They had never, ever heard anyone speaking like that. And it really put them off. And it says in verse 60, the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And then it says in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. How sad. And I believe that's true in our churches. People react against the message of the blood of Jesus. They don't like it. And I wonder why it is that people don't like it. I believe it's the devil. And I can remember looking back. When I first heard this message, I had heard people preach about the blood of Jesus. I had heard the message taken out of the picture of the Passover and the Lamb. And of course, I mean, we all have if we're born again Christians. But when I heard the people who came from East Africa giving their testimony, it was something different. It was much more personal. It was something that I really had to accept for myself. And I saw that it was a challenge from the Lord that I had to learn to apply the precious blood of Jesus to my sin. I had to make it something very personal. And I can remember when I heard it being almost put off and feeling, I don't like this, thank you very much. And I think in many of our churches, especially I think in England, they don't like it. And I believe it's the devil who tries to make us not like it. Because in this message is the whole secret of our walking with the Lord Jesus. I'm absolutely convinced of it. Because I've known it in my own life, and I've seen it in other lives. And I know people who've are deep Bible students, people who know Romans 6, 7 and 8 backwards, inside out. And Roy will tell you, he pored over Romans as a young Christian and got every part of it, and yet somehow couldn't make it work. And isn't that true, that we can have all the doctrine straight, we can have so much knowledge as Christians, and yet somehow we can't make it work? You know only too well, you can have a lovely time with the Lord in your devotions in the morning, you can be really seeing something, and then you go to breakfast and somebody says something, a letter comes in the mail, and all the blessing goes like that. Have you found that? I have, many times. What do? Well, you do what Roy said last night as he was driving the car up to that meeting. He was not really with his mind on the Lord or getting his message. because the car was making strange noises. But then when he was able to stop and come to the Lord, he was able to just bring all these things and put them under the blood. And as he repented of the negative, the Lord brought in the positive and gave him a message that touched many people. And he didn't say it, but I know that many of those who were saved that night are on the mission field today or in the Lord's service. But that was the power of the blood of Jesus. It wasn't Roy's wonderful preparation. He was just worried stiff, as we say, about his car. Well, I believe this is what the Lord wants us to get hold of. I was yesterday really quite worried about what I was going to say to you. And I thought, well, Nana, what do you want me to take? Should I take this? Should I take that? And nothing seemed to lift to me. And then last night I thought, well, this is what I'm going to speak about, because this is what is life to me. And you've got to really share that which is life to you. You know, in the Wesleyan revival, the time of Wesley and Whitfield in Britain, they say that the great cry that was going around was for me. People suddenly saw that all this was for them, for me. And I believe this is what we've got to get hold of. This is for me. Where I am, as a wife, as a mother. Don't leave it to the pastors and to the evangelists and to the men. You know, I do believe there's a danger for women in their desire and their right desire to let the man be the head, the spiritual head, which is absolutely, of course, right, not to really find their own spiritual walk with Jesus. You think, okay, well, he's going on with the Lord and I'll do my best to look after him and the family and be a good wife. But you're missing out. That's not enough. And one day the Lord's going to take him, maybe, before you. We've got to have our own walk with the Lord Jesus. We've got to find what is the way. And when all the other things go, which they can well do, in these days, we could find our way of life just disappearing overnight. Where are we going to be? And we've got to know it's not got to be head knowledge. It's not got to be what we're learning in Sunday school, what we listen to the pastor saying Sunday by Sunday. It's got to be our real walk with Jesus for me. And I don't know how you're finding it. Do you find it easy to walk with Jesus? I told you on Sunday, and as I say, you've probably forgotten, for a long time I was seeking a walk with the Lord that was real. I'd been, as I said, saved from a non-Christian background, although it was a very loving family, and I praise the Lord for the love and the care. But people who had no time, really, for Jesus. And then God, in his mercy, took me to that winter sports party in Switzerland, where I heard of Jesus as my personal saviour. And I realised then it was for me. And praise the Lord, I was saved. But really, to live life as a Christian, that's where it gets difficult. I think we can be content with just beginning. And we sort of feel, well, that's okay, I'm saved, I go to church, I do all the right things. But it's not enough. It's not enough. And I knew in my heart it wasn't enough. And it was an up and down sort of life. Sometimes, you know, having left that atmosphere of the world and it being my family, I think probably if I got back, if I got away from the Lord, the old atmosphere seemed to overtake me. I don't know if any of you have had that experience. And it was so difficult to get back into the place where I felt I was with the Lord. And I knew there must be something different. But as I shared with you that on Sunday, I felt, well, you know, the books that I read, very good books, many of them. Books on the victorious life, which probably some of you have read. Can't even think of them now, but, you know, books that really are seeking to help Christians. I found I would try to do the things they said, and I couldn't do it. I'd go so far, but then something else would happen, and I'd feel again a long way from the Lord. And then when these folk came from East Africa, and they shared their testimony with us of how God had met them as missionaries and shown them sin, shown them the power of the blood of Jesus, shown them how they could walk day by day with him. It just spoke to me in such a wonderful way, and I knew after 10 years this was what I had been waiting to hear. Now, it's interesting to me that before then, I can't remember how many years before, but during that 10 years, I can remember at one time being attacked. I think I would say it was attacked by thoughts that I knew were dishonouring to the Lord. And I was so convicted about this, and I didn't know how to cope with it. And then out of the blue, it seemed as if the Lord said to me, the blood of Jesus takes away all sin. And I remember catching hold of it and applying it and to my thoughts. And it was as if that passed and that attack, I think it was, it went. But do you know, I forgot all about it because nobody was preaching it. Nobody preached in our church, although it was an evangelical fine church. No one preached the power of the blood of Jesus, that one could apply the blood in this sort of a way. And so I forgot about it. And then when these people came, they spoke about the same thing, and I thought, ah, that's what I remember the Lord showed me years ago. And yet, as I say, I began to react a bit about it until the Lord really brought me really to see that this was his way of blessing. And then I didn't really fully tell you, I think, the other day. I remember it was one afternoon meeting, and they were speaking of one of the pictures that the Lord had given them in Africa, whether it was an African brother who brought it in their picturesque way of speaking. But they were repeating this story about how they were picturing a convention in Africa where people all sit on the ground, thousands come, and they sit under the trees and they're so eager to hear the word of the Lord. And they pictured the Lord Jesus going around the rows, and he had on his shoulder a golden water pot full of the water of life, the Holy Spirit. And he would stop at every person and just longing to fill their lives, their cups, they said, with the Holy Spirit. And as he would look into each life, he would look to see if it was clean, that cup, that life. And if it was, he could pour in the Holy Spirit, the water of life. And this he was doing as he went around. But they said that as he went to some people, he would sadly shake his head and walk on. And that was what spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, Pam, this is what I see in your cup. And I can't fill you with the Holy Spirit. And it was this very deep reserve and shyness that I had, this sort of tied up personality. I would never dream of speaking to you as I'm doing today. And I had felt that it was me, that I was, that was what I was going to be for always. People were different personalities, some were brilliant and outgoing, others quiet. And the Lord said, no, call it sin, and then I can fill you. And so I called it sin that day. I can remember praying out loud in that great big old Anglican church, which was something, and calling it sin. And I saw that there was time, the blood of Jesus, to take it away. And of course, really, this was pride. You can say, well, how is it that that is sin? Purely that it's pride. That we don't want people to see the little small person that we really are. So we build around ourselves this wall and keep people conveniently outside. And that was what I did. I didn't want anyone to come too near. And so the Lord helped me and set me free. And I learnt something so deep then, that if I can see something as sin, then there's all the power of the blood of Jesus to set me free. You know, we have a sort of atmosphere in which we live at home where people are looking so much to their backgrounds and blaming their backgrounds, blaming their parents for how they are now. And I think too, in some circles, you know, you can blame almost demons for how you are now. And this is part of the art of dodging repentance. Anything, you see, or it's my father, he was too strict, or he was too soft, or my mother was too this or that, or I went to the wrong school, or we had too much money, or too little money, or anything except being able to see it's my sin, and for my sin Jesus had shed his blood to set me free. And I learnt that when I could see something as sin, it wasn't a terrible thing. You might think, oh, how terrible, you know, that's sin, what an awful thing. No, it's a wonderful thing to be able to recognize it, because if we recognize it, there's all the power of the blood of Jesus to set us free. So don't be frightened of seeing something as sin. It's God's way of bringing us through into liberty. And there were so many different attitudes that I had to see, which I felt were just normal. Everyone else sort of reacted that way, so this was what was done. And then God wouldn't let me get away with it. I began to see that when things went wrong, there was a shadow between the Lord Jesus and myself. And a peace that I had had began to be disturbed. And if I didn't come to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, what was that? And he'd show me quick as knife, it was that you said, or that you felt. And as Roy said yesterday, that hectic Saturday he had when guests were coming and guests were going, all the time he's saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And all the time, the blood of Jesus was cleansing. The Africans say it's like a windshield wiper. All the time, keeping that shield clean so as you can see, and your fellowship with Jesus is kept. And so I found that I can come back with all these things and my fellowship restored. Talks about peace through the blood of his cross. Again, quoting the Africans, they used to say that when something comes to disturb that peace, just the little things of life, you can react to somebody. Very often it's a husband and wife relationship, I think, because it's our closest relationship. We react so quickly, don't we? I know I reacted because Roy wasn't coming here. You know, I sort of felt self-pity. I felt a bit left. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me about that and shared it with Roy. And these are the sort of things all the time. Life is like that. And they said, you know, that first thing comes. And it's just like a little bit of mosquito netting that comes between us and the Lord Jesus. You can see Jesus quite well through that mosquito netting. But there's just a little bit of something in our fellowship. And you feel that little bit of peace is ruffled. If you don't get that right, something else comes. And that's absolute ground for something else to happen, because you're not at peace fully in your heart. Therefore, because you're not at peace, the next thing gets you more quickly. You react more quickly because you're still reacting from the first thing. And then that's like a blanket. Well, you can still hear through a blanket, hear the Lord Jesus saying, well, put that right, put that right. But you can't, you know, you're not seeing. And then if you don't get that right, it's like a wooden fence. And they go on and on, and it's like, then it's like a brick wall, and then it's like a steel. And so you're finding yourself so far away. And then the devil says, well, now you're so far away, it's going to take you an awful long time to get back. You've got to really work at it to get back, to be right with God. And that's what I thought, you see, in those days before I heard this message. I had to really work at it to get first away that steel wall, and then the brick wall, and then the fence, and then the blanket, and then the mosquito net, and then, you know, then you were back, having worked your way. And you see, we think it's a long way out. Therefore, it must be a long way back. And that's the lie of the devil. It may be a long way out, but it's a quick way back. Because of the power of the blood of Jesus. Now, you might say, well, that's not very fair on the Lord. You know, why should I come back so quickly? It's not right. You see, and that's our human thinking. It's not right. I don't deserve to come back. I ought to work my way back. I ought to, you know, suffer the consequences. But really, I think that is doing despite to what Jesus has done. He said it's finished. And because he knows the type of people we are, he knows we need this quick way back, that we cannot work ourselves to save or to get right. And so it's a long way out, but it's a quick way back. There's a hymn that says it's only a step from sin to grace, so why not take it now? And so often all these hymns, when we're singing them, we are thinking of the unsaved. It's wrong to do that. The gospel is for Christians. The good news is not only for the unsaved, but it's for us. We must preach the good news to ourselves and tell ourselves it's only a step from sin to grace. Now, we're going to Milldale next week on Saturday. And last year we were at Milldale and we had an absolutely super time. Oh, the Lord just blessed us all so much. And it was really the message of the power of the blood of Jesus which set people free all over the place. And the minister there, he said, he got up, I think, at the end, and he said, you know, I've got to change my message. I've said to people, man, if you go away from God, every step you take away from God, you've got to take that step back again. He said, now I've seen that it may be a long way out, but it's a quick way back because of the blood of Jesus. You should have heard the place. It almost took off for glory. You know, it was wonderful, really. you see, and all these things just confirm to Roy and me, this is God's message. This is God's way. Whatever it is. I've got all sorts of notes written down here, and I don't think I'm following them very well, but still. And he also said, they'd had conferences every year, maybe twice a year, and he said, you know, we've had all sorts of speakers coming to our conference and talking about revival. But he said, after a few weeks or months, we've given up. Because the message has been so difficult for us to follow. We followed it with good intentions to begin with, but after a bit, we've just given up. He said, now, we've heard this message, we have no excuse. And this is it, we have no excuse. What more could the Lord have done than he has done? He's absolutely done everything to make it possible for us to walk with our Lamb. No more could have been done by Jesus than he has done. And it's available for each of us. As I say, where we are as wives and mothers, where we are in our own spiritual walk, where we are in our sort of situation. I don't know you, I don't know what your situations are, what your background is. But what I do know is that this is sufficient for each one of you and for me. For us to walk with the Lord Jesus and to know his life and his peace and his joy and his fullness, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord, and I am complete in him. There's a chorus that says that. Maybe Roy will teach you that one. Maybe you know it. And this is what we're longing for. I believe if we've got anywhere as Christians at all, we long for the fullness of the Lord to be in our lives, to be experiencing it, to be satisfied, and for other people to be blessed. And this is the way. And I remember a group of young people singing a chorus. They bring these choruses out of the blue. You know, we have what we call a Sunday night round the piano at our conference in August, and Roy usually leads it, and they all love him leading it. He's sort of almost a grandfather of the conference now, and he likes leading and singing, and you haven't really seen him in full. No, he can really really take off for glory. And when you may think that English people are reserved, but you wait and see when they're really blessed. When the Lord really comes down, we can be as expressive as anybody else. And we have a lovely time. And this Sunday night round the piano is at the end of a Sunday, and people bring their contributions. We're not so gifted, you know, as you folks are. We don't have the sort of duets and solos and beautiful choirs. We're much more, I don't know, homespun, perhaps you would say. We're not so sophisticated, but we enjoy people doing their little bits, you know, singing, and the young people bring their contributions. And a group one evening sang, you may know this one too, love is flowing like a river, flowing out to you and me, flowing out into the desert, setting all the captives free. Let it flow through me. Let it flow through me. Let the mighty love of God flow out through me. And you can change love, grace, joy, peace. But it's a picture of it. It is flowing like a river. Flowing out to you and me. Flowing out into the desert, setting all the captives free. As they see the blood, the captives are free. I'm absolutely sure this is how captives are free. This is how this captive became free. Free from my tied-upness, free from my self-pity, free from my fears, free from my all these different things, my resentments. But how does it flow through us, you see? Out into setting all the other captives free by the blood of Jesus. That's how. You know, you can be a missionary, you can be a pastor, you can be a worker in the church, you can go to all the seminars, you can know it all. You can be bishops, you can be a deacon. But unless you're being cleansed in the blood of Jesus, that love is not going to flow out into the desert to set the other captives free. I told you again, I'm going to repeat it and then I'm going to finish. This friend of mine, who was in Rwanda, little tiny country in Africa where I was working, just as the secretary, she was a nurse, and she gives her testimony about walking from her home to the hospital, you remember, and how this African met her and said, "Are you praising the Lord, sister?" No, she wasn't praising the Lord because of having lost her temper at home. And she was feeling accused. Here she was, a missionary. Fancy losing her temper. And she felt in the dark and accused and miserable. And when she said, "Oh, no, I'm not praising the Lord," he said, "Has the blood of Jesus lost its power and walked on?" Left her. Nothing else. Not fancy you a missionary, losing your temper, all this. And as I said, as she walked, she thought, "Well, of course, the blood of Jesus has not lost its power. Why am I in the dark? Why am I letting the devil accuse me?" And as she walked, she came back to Jesus and said, "Lord, forgive me for losing my temper. And I just put it under the blood and accept your forgiveness." And she came out into the sunshine again. And then when she got to that hospital and had to deal with all those patients as a missionary, Jesus, the love of God, could flow through her to set the captives free. You know, she would have been a missionary in name only, wouldn't she, if she had gone there with this sort of burden of her sin, feeling her fancy, you know, thinking about it all the time, how the devil makes you. You know, we can be the most mature Christians, dedicated missionaries, and yet something like that can happen in the twinkling of an eye, and all the blessing goes. But it's a quick way back. Praise God, it's a quick way back, and she saw it. And this is what the Lord wants us to see. I'm absolutely certain that there's peace through the blood of the cross. And it's maybe a long way out. Maybe you felt, well, it was a long way out. This has happened, that's happened, that. And I feel in the dark, I feel down. How am I going to sort it out? You know, you feel you've got to sort it out, this and this and this. It's a quick way back. That Bill Gaither song, "Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him," we say, "was emptiness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life." And then it says in the verse, I can't remember it, but you probably know it, all the things that had gone wrong, and he bundled them all up in the rags of his life and laid it at the old cross. And then the Lord made something beautiful. So that's what we can do. Just bundle it all up and say, "Lord, I give it to you," and put it under the blood, and you can go out free. Bless you.
Thank you.